I want to reiterate what Joe said. Mr. Ralph poked me right before I came up, Ralph Bridges, and he said, I'm looking forward to y'all's part of the program because I think I'll be able to understand what you're talking about. So I hope that'll be true, Mr. Ralph. We're all from the South here and on the panel, so I hope our accents have been easy enough for you to understand what we're talking about and real basic in what we're going to say. I'm going to tell you a little history about Yon Family Farms and how we came to be what we are. We're very much still a work in progress, as Jay referred to his operation. But first of all, let me say I'm real humbled to be included on the panel with these two guys and just real honored that I was asked to be a part of it. So thank you for asking me. My husband and I both attended Clemson University, and we got degrees in animal science and knew we wanted to be in production, agriculture, and the cattle business. I was with another breed when I grew up, and my parents had commercial cattle, but no Angus, and my husband had some commercial cattle with his grandfather. So we really don't have a lot of Angus history that goes back for generations, but as we began to date and talk about our goals for the future, we both knew that we were really impressed with the Angus people and the Angus breed, and just knew that we wanted to be a part of that. And as good fortune would have it, when it came time for us to go job hunting, we found a place there in South Carolina that wanted to hire both of us to manage their Angus operation. So we thought, man, this is too good to be true. We just finished college. You know, we're really smart. We know how to go in here and do this. Well, we were smart for probably about 2 days. And then we realized from that point forward, it's been a big old learning curve, and there was an awful lot to learn. I have to tell this story. When we got there, there were probably 50 Angus cows already there, and they'd been without anybody managing their herd for a few years. And the lady that was one of the owners of the farm brought me a notebook, and she said, I don't know what to do with these, but they're birth weights and weaning weights that the last guy that was here said we needed to take. So maybe you know what to do with them. So I said, well, that's good. We can get started on the Angus herd improvement records with that. And then about 3 hours later, she was still visiting with us, and she said, those scales over there, do y'all need to use those? And I said, well, yes, ma'am. Where did you get these weights from if the last guy didn't use them? She said, well, he was really good. He could look at them and tell what they weighed when they were born and when they were weaned. So we didn't turn those in. But that kind of gives you an idea of where we started. We kind of had to start from scratch. And some of the cattle that were there were good functional cattle, but I can relate to Harvey's story about having to start out with not what was ideal. Fortunately, the people that owned the farm were receptive to working with us and sat down and established some goals with us. And they agreed to, at our urging, purchase a herd of cattle from our friends Randy and Beth Daniel in Georgia. It worked out really good for both of us. They wanted a bigger house, and we needed some good cattle. So we kind of worked that deal out and started out with their cattle at Congaree Farms, and that was one of the best moves we've made because that was already an established performance program that we could work with and continue in a program that had already been successful. So we started out there with their cattle and began our own farm performance bull test, I think probably the first one in South Carolina, and sold our first set of bulls. The first year that we were there, we had 17 bulls, and it was an open house kind of deal, not an auction. But we sold 17 bulls at our first sale and had a little small group of people in the office, and it was really nice and worked out. We just continued doing it every year and kept having a few more bulls and bigger numbers and more customers, and started a newsletter and sent out stuff to our customers every year and tried to develop a customer base there with those cattle. Everything was rocking around really well, and about 7 years after we'd been there, the farm owners called us into the office and said, we don't think we want to do cattle anymore. So that left us in a bit of a dilemma. At that point, we were technically in about a month to be unemployed, callous, and had no home and 3 children under the age of 5. So we're a little stressed there for a while. And we had to make a decision as to what we were going to do. If we hadn't chose the path that we did, we would have been staying for about 3 months and hosting a dispersal of those cattle. And that idea didn't really appeal to us very much because we had spent a lot of time and effort in getting the cattle to where they were and wanted to continue doing what we were doing. But yet we didn't really feel like we were quite ready and knew we weren't ready financially to go out on our own. But my husband said, Harvey Lemon did it. We can do it. So, and my dad kept asking me which one of us was going to get a real job if we did that. And we still hadn't got a real job yet, if you want to call it that. But we told him that we were going to give it a go, and if one of us needed to get some off-the-farm employment, we'd do so. But we were going to charge right on and try to pay the bills with us doing it. So that in itself is a whole other adventure. We had saved our money for 7 years while we were there, and we used that money along with some other funds that we obtained through lenders to purchase 100 acres and 100 cows, and then somebody else bought the rest of the herd that was there at Congaree. And so we looked like the Beverly Clampets, and we loaded up and moved to Ridge Springs, South Carolina, which is not home to either of us. It's about 2 hours from our home that we grew up. But we had developed a relationship with quite a few bull customers in that area. It's a beautiful part of South Carolina, and it has a really nice ag infrastructure, which is something that we've enjoyed from the standpoint of being able to buy feed and fertilizer and have a machine shop close by and a John Deere dealership. It's just an agricultural community, and we've enjoyed very much the choice that we made to move to that part of the country. This year we'll be hosting our 15th bull sale. We've been there for, 8 years in Ridge Spring. And in February we will hold our 15th sale. And we started our bulls on test last month, and there were, 167 bulls. So that'll show you how we've grown from 17 to that number. So obviously there's strength in numbers of having a larger offering of good cattle to offer when it's time to have an auction. I think probably the biggest compliment that we've been paid concerning our bulls would be a couple of years ago, a person that's been buying bulls from us all along was looking through them, and he said, you know, it used to be a lot easier to buy bulls from you guys. And I said, why is that? And he said, there was always a top end, and I could come in here and pick out the ones that I like the best. And he said, now they all look alike, and I don't think there's, you know, really a top end in them. They're all good. And that really made me feel good that somebody thought that the whole bunch was that good and that they commented on seeing the progress. Because sometimes if you're right there every day, you may not see it. So that was really a nice pat on the back for us. But like I said, we're still learning every day. And as our operation has grown in Ridge Spring, we bought a commercial herd of cattle as well. And those commercial cattle are used as a recipient herd for our embryo transfer program. Well, obviously, not all of those cattle aren't going to stick with ET calves, so we cleaned up those commercial calves with Angus bulls and have tried to be creative in how we marketed the calves. Well, the first year we came time to market them, we didn't have enough to make a load. And so we said, man, you know, we don't want to really take these cattle to the stockyard. And so we looked around, and we had another commercial producer there in town, and we put together a load of cattle with him. It occurred to us at that time that a lot of our commercial customers were really in the same boat every year at marketing time. Our customer base can be really diverse. Our biggest customer is very unusual for our part of the country. He just sold 10 load lots of steers off his farm. That's very unusual for our part of the country, as it probably is here as well. Most of our customers would have between 10 and 100 cows, and probably a lot of them 30 or 40 type cattle in their brood cow herds. The thing about those people that have that number of cattle, a lot of them are part-timers, and a lot of them have off-the-farm jobs, but the cattle are their passion, and they do as good or better of a job, you know, as most people in the cattle business do. They do a good job with herd health. They really study genetics and how to use their records. But if they don't have 30 or 40 calves, when they wean their calf crop and have 20 calves, they're in a dilemma of what to do with them and how am I going to get paid for having done all this extra work with them and putting all this blood, sweat, and tears into having a good program. So we thought about that, and Kevin and I realized that we had found ourselves in the same boat, and that maybe it would be helpful if we tried to put together some lots of cattle similar. All of them are sired by our bulls, and the people that have participated all understand the importance of a good herd health program and keeping good records and are from reputable, honest people that understand the deal of working together and how important reputation is in the business. So we sent out a newsletter, and in our newsletter we included a little survey asking our customers if any of them were interested in marketing their cattle cooperatively to get back to us. And we didn't have a tremendous number of people, and we still don't have a large group of people that do. But the ones that have marketed their cattle with us, I think, have really benefited and enjoyed it. What it has done is allowed somebody with 10 head of steers to have the same benefits of selling their cattle as a load and retaining ownership in some instances as a big producer would. We got started with this. I know you're wondering, well, how in the world do you go about putting cattle together and selling them at a good price? Once again, it's a strength in numbers thing. The Angus Association has a lot of good networking opportunities and a lot of good folks in different parts of the country. And I think Kevin talked to Mark Gardner about who he would suggest contacting about selling the first sets of steers that we did. And we did that and developed a relationship with this feed yard and fed the cattle. They did well and didn't have health problems. And they were willing to develop a relationship with us that's still ongoing today. And after developing a good relationship with them, we were able to reach out, and if they didn't need cattle, we could say, well, we fed cattle here for the past couple of years. They've done this. And that would entice other buyers from other feed yards to look at those same cattle. We usually only do two or three load lots per year at the most. The thing about it that has been so good for the folks is that they can follow their calf through the feed yard. The way we've done it is it's a really time-consuming thing. Let me preface everything I'm going to say by it. It sounds easy, and customer service is a good buzzword, but it's not really, really easy, and it's very time-consuming. You have to be committed to your customers and helping them make a profit to actually do it. It requires a lot of phone calls and a lot of contact, from arranging trucking to talking to the people at the feed yard, periodically making sure everything's going good with the cattle, and just the logistics of getting them to one place. And they usually do come to our place, and we have kind of a separate shipping and receiving area for health reasons that everybody will come and at a given time, and we'll ship them together. We have retained ownership, and everybody on the load will have to, you know, of course, assume the same level of ownership. And the feed yard treats it as one load from Yon Family Farms. That provides me with the opportunity to do some extra work on behalf of our customers. When we get back all the stuff, we put it in an Excel spreadsheet and split up everybody's calves. To start with, if we retain ownership, we'll do a starting statement for that pen, whereas we take out their trucking and give them a starting weight and weight going into the feed yard, and then we just try to, you know, talk to them by phone periodically as to how they're doing while they're there. When the cattle are harvested and we get back the carcass data, which is includes everything from ribeye to yield grade to quality grade and any kind of premiums and discounts that they may have received. We put all that in a spreadsheet. We give them a summary of how the pen performed on the whole, and then give them an individual sheet that shows them what percentage of their cattle graded choice. And it gives them a real opportunity to look and see, you know, what areas they have a need for improvement in their specific herd. And at the same time, it helps us look and see, you know, if we need to look at a certain area of our breeding program that we might have a deficiency in, since the cattle are sired by our bulls. So that's been a good program that is time-consuming, and we haven't done on a real big scale, but we do want to continue doing. From the female standpoint, our commercial buyers also have a lot of really good commercial replacement heifers to sell. We haven't done what Joe and Robin have done. I think that's a terrific idea to have a customer sale like that. We've more or less, through our newsletters, made it clear to our customers that we'll kind of serve as a clearinghouse. If you have heifers for sale, call us, let us know how many and when they were born, when they'll be ready to breed. And we kind of keep that all in one spot. And if we have another customer call that's looking for heifers, we try to hook those two folks up together. Some of our larger producers that do have enough steers to make a load lot will call us when they have their steers for sale, because they know that we've established some relationships with some feed yards. And even if we can't get the cattle bought for them, we can usually put some competitive bidding in to help them get a little more money for them, just because of the relationships that we've developed. So finally, the last strength in numbers topic that I would talk about from the cattle marketing standpoint, we do sell females off the farm, private treaty up until this point. We will have a female auction at our farm this fall for the first time. But all the cattle that we've sold private treaty as female units to people, if those cattle have bull calves and they want to run them through our own farm performance test, provided that they manage them as we ask them to prior to weaning, We will take those calves back and let them sell them out through our performance test and sell them in our sale in February. So we have had several people take advantage of that, and I think it's a good thing for all of us to work together. The cattle are all bred similar with similar genetics, and they originated at our place, so we don't have a problem with mixing them back in at weaning. I guess that's about it. I guess we'll open it up for questions, but once again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here.